Well, tonight on The Writers, a refreshingly original look at grief and the struggle for identity through the eyes of a young girl. The book is called Metal Fish, Falling Snow. Dylan has lost her mum in a terrible tragedy and finds herself suddenly alone. Her mother's grieving boyfriend, Pat, reluctantly becomes her carer. Now, Dylan's dark skin and mixed heritage has always made her an outsider, and losing a mum leaves her vulnerable to the vagaries of the remote Australian town she lives in. Pat and Dylan decide to leave their grief behind them and set out on a road trip across the outback. That's when the real adventure begins. Author and award-winning screenwriter Kath Moore has created a gem of a book, and Kath joins me now. Hello, Kath.
Hi, Indira. Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. Now, Kath, young Dylan is a wonderful heroine. She's a survivor and she's very uncompromising at that. Is her character based on anyone or a composite? Where did you get her from?
Yeah, she is a great amalgam of lots of different people, important people who've been in my life. I think in terms of her journey and her narrative arc, she's very much anchored in my own lived experience, growing up, living with a white mother and having an absent black father, and always having to struggle to kind of negotiate those two different realms of identity. But she's, there's also anecdotes and certain sensibilities that I've drawn on from, a vast array of people who've come into my life as well.
Mm. And as you mentioned, you and Dylan have shared some of these experiences. You both have that Afro-Caribbean background. Kath, can you tell me how your family came to Australia?
Well, my mum is she's Anglo-Irish, so her grandfather came here, in the 1920s, I think. So mum was born here, and I was born in Guyana, which is in South America. We've traversed a number of different continents and countries, and it's been me and mum who've established ourselves back here in Australia. So I've lived in Australia since I was about 2 years old.
Right. So similar to Dylan and her mum, it was just the two of you for quite a long time.
Very much so. Yeah, I only really got to know my dad in my early 20s. So I had a vast chasm of a disconnect between my father, but also that sense of self in terms of understanding my own blackness and my connection to an Afro-Caribbean heritage.
Because, you know, obviously, you know, you faced some of the similar challenges to Dylan about fitting in. In the book, she talks a lot about her skin and its colour and how people react to it. Did similar things happen to you?
Yeah, I think growing up in Canberra in the early 80s, I didn't have a lot of reference points in terms of colour. It was a pretty white, middle-class kind of context that I grew up in, and so I think I was always looking for those reference points, and they certainly weren't visible on our TV screens or in my particular community. So I think it was a preoccupation of mine as a child growing up and trying to understand what my sense of colour was and where my skin fit into a socio-cultural kind of perspective. And that's, I think, you know, something that Dylan has also had to contend with in her own story world too in the book.
And how do you feel about your skin now, Kath?
Oh, gosh. It's funny. I caught myself the other day referencing my Afro-Caribbean heritage in front of my Anglo-Irish heritage. And I think that's, it said to me that I'm far more comfortable in terms of embracing both sides of my heritage. And that's ostensibly because of the relationship that I've managed to foster with my father. And I think that's also something that Dylan explores, is that her sense of identity is complicated by these ideas of emotion and bias that she has to contend with in terms of what she thinks blackness is. And that's very much been my own personal journey in terms of embracing a sense of skin and a sense of colour by virtue of having a really strong, solid relationship with my father.
Right. And of course, we're living through an era where we're all becoming much more conscious of blackness, and the Black Lives Matter movement is gaining momentum around the world. Do you think that that is bringing up an important discussion that we need to have around blackness?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, especially within our own cultural context, I think there's a lot of fear and apprehension around having these kinds of discourses, you know, above and beyond the gap that exists, I think, between Black and White Australia. There's also a larger, broader conversation to be had about how we embrace diversity and how we understand the different layers and the different perspectives of what it means to, from my point of view, coming from a background of mixed heritage too. So, yeah, and I think, you know, we're global citizens now. So certainly the conversations and the challenges that are being felt around the world, you know, are also impacting on our local context here too. And I think there's only, we can only move forward and keep having these kinds of discussions about what it means in terms of lived experience to live in a country and grow up with a diverse background, and looking at both, you know, the challenges that that often presents, but also I'm really interested now in trying to find those moments where we can, you know, aspire to having broader, more positive conversations about representation.
Mm. And the other thing that I really enjoyed about Metalfish Falling Snow is that you tell the story through Dylan's eyes, and you seem to inhabit the mind of a young girl so well. How did you prepare for that particular voice, Kath?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question, Indira. I'm not sure I did prepare myself. I think at some point, you sit with a story sometimes for long enough that you end up taking the back seat, and the character or the protagonist that you're writing ends up taking the reins, so to speak. So I think in terms of process, it was certainly a negotiation between stepping back into my own memories of what it was to be that age and ways of seeing the world, which is certainly coloured, pun probably intended, mm-hmm. by being of mixed heritage. But I think if you sit long enough with a character and you sit in a story world and you just allow yourself to be curious about the space that you, the writer, are, you know, sitting within, at some point, there becomes this transfer and you become much more of a collaborator with your protagonist. And that's been a really interesting part of this journey too, is moving from a screenplay form, which is where this story originated, into a prose page and finding a more literary way of speaking to and about not only the character, but also, you know, these broader issues that I was trying to investigate too. So, yeah, I think the most interesting thing for me was crossing over into a different medium. And that, you know, I mean, when you write for screen, it's such a reductive process and, you know, you have to think very economically. But when you're writing prose, gosh, it felt like I'd been liberated. You know, you can go off on these really interesting trails and you can become much more internalized in terms of trying to negotiate your character's emotions and psychology. And I think that was really helpful for me in terms of broadening my own understanding about who the character of Dylan was.
Mm. It's interesting you said that it started off as a screenplay, because there are aspects of it while you're reading it that you think, it's so visual. I can picture this as a film or on, you know, on film or on television.
That's music to my ears, Indira. I think that's what you want to do as an author, isn't it? You really want to provide, you know, your reader with this idea about how to translate your words into images and a soundscape too while they're reading it. That's part of the transaction or the contract that I think you make with your readers, is to give them license and creative freedom in which to bring the words on the page into a visual story while they're reading it too. So I'm glad that that was the case for you. That's wonderful feedback.
You're listening to Nightlife with Indira Naidoo, and I'm speaking to author Kath Moore about her new book, Metal Fish Falling Snow. And Kath, you are a well-established screenwriter and filmmaker. What made you want to write a novel?
Oh, gosh. That's a really good question too. I think when you're working on so many different projects that inevitably take a really long time to get off the ground, sometimes it's interesting to step into different territory. And because the screenplay that I wrote never got off the ground, it was never produced in that form, I thought, well, maybe it still has some kind of potential. Yeah, because I had invested so much time into these characters, and I really did fall in love with Dylan, and I didn't want to lose her. So she kind of sat in the bottom drawer for a couple of years, and then I thought, oh gosh, maybe there's something still there. And I think I had the confidence of having a narrative backbone that I could take from the screenplay and investigate and see whether or not something else would emerge. And so I was always curious. And I think as a writer, it's an impulse. It's not a hobby. It's not something that you can, you know, kind of pick up and put down. I think there's always this sense of what's next. And you know, you're constantly asking yourself questions about different narrative territories that you want to explore. So this, I think, was something that I had to realize in its most truest form. And I think that's been the novel, because I had to really sit down with my dad over the phone and through email and go on a kind of rite of passage that's become the last part of the book, which is where Dylan does learn to understand where it is that she's come from. So that pathway for Dylan and that pathway for myself and for my father was a really interesting process that I didn't manage to explore while I was writing the screenplay. So yeah, it was quite a redemptive process, I have to say. And it's nice to know that I feel like there's a sense of authority and authorship about this story in this form that I wouldn't have had I not decided to explore it in prose.
And you capture the life, the heat and the small townness of a country town so evocatively. Have you had much experience of places like that yourself, Kath?
I did live on a farm for 4 years when I was a kid. And I think, you know, it's such a wonderful space to inhabit when you're a child, being so close to nature and really seeing the cycles of life play out and the seasons. There's something inherently tangible about living on the land, and that's always really stayed with me. I have that's another preoccupation of mine, of what is it to live, you know, as a settler, as I am, what is it to live on this land that we inhabit, on this indigenous land? So I think for me, it's also unpacking this idea of identity in terms of the space and places that we live on and try to locate ourselves within. But I always remember, strangely, a road trip that me and my mum took to Brisbane for Expo 88, and we cut across from Canberra up to Brisbane a number of these small country towns, which are also kind of referred to in the book. So they must have also had quite an impact on me, that and the bed bugs, I remember.
And lodged.
So, yeah, I think, you know, Australia is such an interesting country because we have so many different landscapes, you know, geographically and culturally. So I think that's also something that I was really interested to explore too.
Mm. And Dylan has such a wonderful imagination, doesn't she? She's a big fan of Tina Arenas, and that's a theme that runs through it. And there are some wonderfully funny moments amongst all the loss and grief as well. And, you know, I love how the nursing home is referred to as the best intentions nursing home, which actually isn't that funny at the moment, what's going on with COVID in nursing homes at the moment.
But it's prophetic, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. And so I could feel that you had a lot of fun as a writer in a lot of these sections. Can you just give us a sense of how you tackle the writing process?
Yeah, that's – well, as you mentioned, you know, this book does kind of deal with some traumatic subject matter, you know, the idea of how do you own your sense of self, and sometimes that's really problematic for people with mixed heritage. So, I mean, strategically – I was aware of trying to find those pockets of lightness for myself while I was writing, but also for Dylan as a character too. I wanted to make her dimensional, and I wanted her to have a capacity to see the world with a sense of lightness and irony and playfulness too. So I think it was probably once I had a couple of drafts down, was really, you know, doing a pass and looking at, well, what is the dynamic here? What is the rhythm and the flow of the story? And where do I need to breathe? Where does Dylan need to have a moment where she can pause and just exhale? And I was kind of led by that principle of, you know, breathing in and out as a character, but also constructing a story that had that sense of life and breath to it as well.
Mm. And I wondered too, if you... you know, when you were Dylan's age and going through some of the similar issues that she goes through in the book, is there something you wish someone had told you that would have helped you get through some of those growing pains around identity and belonging?
Oh, gosh, do I ever. I just wish I'd had somebody who had a similar kind of experience to me. I think I was always waiting to have a conversation where somebody would say, you know, it's challenging, you know, when you can't see yourself in the world, you know, you do start to think, well, what is my reality and who am I? What is my place and my value and my worth? And I wish I had somebody or just, you know, a connection to a wider landscape in which, you know, kids of mixed heritage and brown-skinned kids, you know, were told or had that sense of ownership over their own space in a way in which I don't think I had. But, you know, it's really lovely to see that come full circle. I have a comrade of sorts. I had an email from a teenage schoolgirl who reached out to me after she'd read a chapter in a book, an anthology, Growing Up African in Australia, that I'd written a chapter for. And she reached out and she said, oh, this book, I really needed to read this book, and I'm so glad to see these words on the page, because they do reflect my own challenges. And, you know, I was in some ways I was really sad that she is going through the same kind of issues and having the same instances where she feels lost, you know, but at the same time I was so happy that I could actually reach out to her and have the kind of conversation and be the kind of person for her that I wish that I had when I was her age.
Mm. I mean, I'm very fortunate. I've always enjoyed having brown skin, but I was reading the book and realising that both my parents were off the same heritage and racial background, and that is quite a different experience from what you went through.
Interesting, isn't it? Yeah, because, and again, I, as a kid, I really needed to hang on to something of substance. And, you know, a lot of the settler population in Australia that I knew had Anglo-Irish, you know, Scottish heritage. And so for me, that was an easy way to kind of ground myself in the world, was to very much connect and identify with my mother's side of the family. And there's, you know, when you're of mixed heritage, you're sometimes just tired of the questions. You know, you're constantly being asked to situate yourself within a wider kind of context. And sometimes people, they expect or they want a particular narrative from you that isn't always the case, isn't always what your lived experience has been. So sometimes it's tiring, you know, thinking, why do I have to constantly qualify who I am? But at the same time, now that I see myself in a much more positive light, I do appreciate and understand the curiosity that we all have as humans. You know, to it's human nature to try to understand or find a connection point to other people.
And it's what makes you special and unique.
That's exactly right. So, you know, when I was younger, I would have been, you know, quite defensive about that. But now I'm much more willing to have a conversation because I want to have these conversations and these discourses where we talk about, you know, what diversity means and to really, you know, celebrate the fact that I have a voice now and I'm really proud to speak about, you know, my heritage too.
And your filmmaking and this book, Metal Fish, Falling Snow, will certainly become a platform for that. So thank you so much, Kath, for joining us on Nightlife.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you, Indira.
That was Kath Moore, a filmmaker and writer who has put out a first novel, Metal Fish, Falling Snow.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.